And I hope that you all got the benefit of your extra hour last night. Some of you shaking your heads. I hope you didn't fall into the trap of saying, well, it's only an hour earlier, and sitting up. Some of you did that, I know. We all tend to do that sometimes. The clocks have changed, and we're into the, if you like, the darkness of the winter, and all of that. Don't know whether I'm going to show you a picture here. I don't know if you were reading about this this past week. It's a village. I probably can't pronounce it right. Dukan or Rukan, in the middle of Norway. And apparently, for quite a number of months, in the heart of the winter, they are in darkness, in the sense that the sun does not shine directly in their village, because they are in a large valley and the sun cannot get to them. So I don't know how you would like to live in a place where literally for, I think it's 5, maybe even more months of the year, if you are in the village, the sun will not shine directly upon you. And so somebody has come up with this wonderful idea, and they have actually installed massive mirrors, you can see it there, on the side of the mountain, and the sun shines and is reflected, and you can see the poor creators there enjoying a little bit of sunshine, albeit indirectly. So it's a very interesting thing that has happened, but it tied in nicely with just the theme that I want to speak about for a short time this evening. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16, you see it there on the screen. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And I just want, before we finish our service this evening, just to bring almost a little devotional thought from this text this evening. And I just want to break it up in the following way. The people living in darkness. The people living in darkness. Now, that particular phrase had a particular meaning for the context in which it was written. But you know, we can apply it in whatever age we live. Think tonight of our community. Think of every community. Those who are, for whatever reason, lonely and sad. People living in darkness of a type. Think tonight of people, some you will know more than we might care to imagine, who are struggling with illnesses of body and mind. People, in a sense, in the darkness of those situations. Think of people tonight who are caught up in sad and miserable relationships, living in darkness of a type. People tonight in this community and in every community who are caught in addictions, addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs, addicted to gambling, addicted to pornography. And there are more people in the kingdom of Mourn than you might care to imagine, addicted to all of those things. People living in darkness of a type. People in our cities, we think of our city of Belfast, and we've been hearing a lot over these past months. People at one level trapped in poverty, lack of education, And some people like to be trapped by paramilitarism, unable to escape. I know of situations where people desperately wanting to escape, but they cannot. They are trapped, living in a darkness. But you know, lest we just think of other people, the truth of the matter is that the scriptures teach that we are all, every single human person in this world, we come into this world and we are in a darkness, a spiritual darkness brought about by our own self-centeredness and sin. One classic text that illustrates that, it's not on the screen, John chapter 3 and verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The people living in darkness, it touches every single one of us. But the second thing is, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. And here is the good news of the gospel. And all those things and examples that I gave earlier, this is where the gospel begins to potentially have this wonderful impact on people who are in darkness, who are trapped, who are hemmed in by so many things. Here is the good news of the gospel, that the people living in darkness have seen a great light. Do you remember one time Jesus said those famous words, John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I'm not going to spend long on this, but it is helpful for us to remember that in the context of that situation in John chapter 8, we're told that when Jesus said those words, that he was actually in the temple area. We're also told that it was a harvest time, but like this time of the year for us. They didn't necessarily call it harvest, but they called it the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was a time, actually, when people brought their gifts from the fields and they presented them in the temple courtyard. And we are told, we know this, that in this courtyard where Jesus was, there were these wonderful chandeliers. These wonderful chandeliers. And every evening, somebody put the lights out. These chandeliers actually were seen as a kind of a symbol of the pillar of fire which followed the people away back in the wilderness. And John tells us in John chapter 8 and verse 20, let me read you the verse. John 8 and verse 20 says this, Jesus spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put, the place where the harvest offerings were brought, where these wonderful chandeliers were. At the end of the day, they were put out and lit the next day. And it may well have been that as these lights were being put out, that Jesus stood up and declared, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, the coming of Christ literally brought the coming of light into the midst of the darkness. And this is what the gospel is. You have heard me say that one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story that follows Jesus teaching about being the light of the world. In John chapter 9, there's this wonderful story of this man who is in darkness. He is blind. He cannot see. And Jesus, to cut a long story short, Jesus heals him. Jesus brings him out of his darkness into the light. And you have this whole situation. If it wasn't so tragic it would be funny, but it's not funny. Where you have the religious people of the day who have a problem with this man being healed. You would think they would be happy for the poor creature, but no, they have some problem. Jesus didn't do this in the right way. He did it on the wrong day. He did it in the wrong way. It's amazing how religion gets in the road of Jesus so very, very often. But one of the reasons that that story, I love it so much, is because they basically say to this man in John chapter 9, they ask him all these questions. And he basically says to them, you know, I can't answer your questions. I don't know the answer to that question. But you know one thing? One thing I can tell you, once I was blind, but now I can see. Once I was in darkness, but this man touched my life and now I can see. And sometimes we sing about that when we sing that song, I saw the light, I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. You see, here is the gospel, that the people living in darkness have seen a great light. That the people in our community who may literally be in the darkness of their sin need to hear the gospel of the light of Christ who can deliver them. That the people tonight who are caught and trapped and imprisoned by addictions to different things need to hear the good news of the gospel, that it doesn't always need to be that way. That there is a way out. There is a way that they can be set free as they come to embrace Christ. And if the Son shall set you free, said Jesus, you shall be free indeed. Tell me tonight, have you seen the light? Have you literally seen the light? I'm not asking you, have you had some Damascus Road conversion? You may have, but it may have been a very less dramatic thing, but you have still seen the light. The important thing is not the drama around our conversion, but the reality of that conversion and the fact that we have been truly converted and that we can say, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living, a light has dawned. Like the people in that Norwegian village, the light dawns. Sometimes we sing, and it was interesting, some of us were up on Friday night for the commissioning, well, for the ordination of David McCullough, who was here a few weeks ago, stood here with his wife Pamela, and they were commissioned to go to Malawi this Wednesday. It's interesting, one of the hymns that we sang on Friday night, and I think we actually sang it the night that David and Pamela were here, I didn't realize it was one that was special to them, Lights to the World. O light of man, kindle in us a mighty flame, till every heart consumed by love shall rise to praise your holy name. And that's why James also read this evening, when Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine. And so tonight, and again, our time has virtually gone. But you can think of people like David and Pamela going on Wednesday to Malawi, letting the light shine. You can think of, and we're not going to mention everybody here, but young Johnny and Gemma Forsyth, who are letting the light shine in Mexico. Or Laura Jane and her husband Ho, letting the light shine in Japan. Or young Neil Gillespie, who was here a couple of weeks ago, letting the light shine in central East London. Or Karen and Rhonda down in County Mayo, letting the light shine. Or Billy Patterson, going round the doors, planning for these hotel Bible studies, coming up to Christmas in Uri, letting the light shine. Or Janice, as we heard from earlier, along with that group in Benidorm, letting the light shine. Or Raymond and Sandra, planning in a very short time to go to South America, and through their life and through the talents that they will use with others, to let the light shine. But of course, we need to apply that more. And again, I'm not going to mention everything, but let's remember, folks, that within every part of the life and ministry of this local congregation, whether it's parent and toddler group or Life Builder or all the youth organizations or the ladies' work and so on and so forth, that is an attempt to let the light shine. It's not just stuff going on for the sake of stuff going on. But I want to apply it even more. Because the truth is that the life and witness and character of every ordinary believer in this community is a letting the light shine. So whenever you go into this coming week, and whether it's in your business or whether it's in your home life or whether it's when you're with your mates having some leisure time or whatever, and that there's a desire in your heart to not just be a Sunday Christian, but to be a Monday through Saturday Christian as well, to let your light shine through your honesty, through your integrity, through the fact that you are a genuine believer, that other people can see, you know, he is different, she is different. They're far from perfect, but they are seeking to let the light shine. And this is what I basically want to leave with you tonight. Because the people living in darkness have seen a great light. And that's the testimony of every single Christian. I was once in darkness, but the light has shone. And on those living, a light has dawned. And the Lord has turned a light on inside us, and we're called not to hide it, but to let it shine. And maybe you say to me tonight, you know, I hear what you're saying, Stephen, but you know, there's times in my life that I do things, that I say things, that I behave in a way, and I'm ashamed, and you know, the light just doesn't shine. And I say to you, well, join the club. Because the truth of the matter is that when we come to Jesus, we are not made perfect. It is the beginning of a transformation. It'll not happen overnight, and sometimes we make an absolute hash of it. But by the grace of God, we pick ourselves up, and we get back on the road with Jesus. And we ask him to forgive us afresh, and to cleanse us anew, and to get on with it. Because, you know, the only person that wants you to be lying down there thinking about the terrible hash that you and I make of it sometimes is the devil. So don't give him any joy. Get up on your feet, and by the grace of God, let your light shine. If the Lord has saved you, let your light shine. Let the light of Jesus shine through you, that the darkness may be pushed back, and that others in darkness might see the light of Jesus in us. We're going to have a short prayer. I'll invite the singers to come up during that, and then we'll sing our closing hymn. Lord, we thank you for the light of the gospel. And we pray tonight that you would help all of us tonight who profess to be children of God, to be followers of Jesus. Help our light to shine, Lord. And Lord, if any of us are here and we're not yet Christians, even tonight, bring us to that place where we give our lives to you tonight, right now, so that the light of Christ may begin to shine in and through us. Lord, hear our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name.